Greetings from the Humongous, the Lord Humongous, the Warrior of the Wasteland, the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller. This is the Science Fiction Rating System. And that was a quote from Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, which is the film we're watching this week. My name is Sam Draper, and I'm joined, as ever, by Chris Redding.
Hello.
And Alex Humphrey.
Hey.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah, not bad.
Very good.
Not bad.
We are deep in apocalypse season, sort of. Accidental apocalypse season.
Accidental apocalypse season.
Yeah, because Fallout's out and Furiosa is out soon.
I got got the CinemaCon slate 2024. You know, CinemaCon.
Yeah.
I
when's our thing. Panel?
We didn't have a panel this year.
Oh, no,
we said no.
So. We turned them down, yeah.
Yeah, I picked some things off it just to flag.
Okay.
Right? So Warner Brothers has got Furiosa coming out in May. They've also got a documentary on Christopher Reeve called Superman, with like a slash. And there's a Horizon, a Western with Kevin Costner in, for all you Kevin Costner fans. He's been away for a while, hasn't he?
No, he does a TV show in America that's the biggest show in America.
Oh, is that why he's back then? Oh, I did wonder.
I can't what it's called, but like it's weirdly like the most watched thing in America.
Oh, okay. Lionsgate have got Margot Robbie in Monopoly because you just add Margot Robbie to things now. And
what, like the board game?
It just says, just called Monopoly, yeah.
She's not about all the rights to all the games.
Like, what, Battleship? Is she going to remake Battleships?
Yeah, she's like the producer on most of them.
God. Lionsgate have also got
Michael... She's not stupid.
No, she's not. They've also got a Michael Jackson biopic with Miles Teller in it, but I'm assuming he's not playing Michael Jackson.
I hope so. Yellowstone, that's the Kevin Costner show. Yellowstone, big deal.
Okay. Paramount have got Transformers 1.
Gladiator. Which looks awful. It's in the trailer for that.
No, but it does look... I've seen... It's all animated, isn't it?
It's weird. Not,
yeah. Yeah, Transformers 1, Gladiator 2.
Yeah, there's crazy.
There's a Naked Gun reboot with Liam Neeson in it.
And Pamela Anderson.
I hope they make a joke that they cast him because his name sounds like Leslie Nielsen. Like, I hope that's a joke, because that I thought it was Leslie Nielsen, but he's dead, isn't he? So,
he's dead, yeah.
Ridley Scott's doing a Bee Gees biopic.
Isn't he doing Gladiator 2 as well? Isn't that him?
No. Yeah. It doesn't have his name on
it. Oh, no, it's someone else, isn't it?
Oh, right.
Someone
else.
No, but yeah, no, Ridley will be doing the Bee Gees. there's a Running Man film by Edgar Wright.
Oh, fuck that.
Don't need that.
No, thank you.
And then, sorry, my last one I've got is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is out 9th of May, and Alien Romulus is 16th of August, it says. So,
gonna suck.
I guess we'll have to do another,
watch an Alien film.
Alien
film. We've run out,
haven't we? Alien versus Predator 2.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Did we do the what's it one? The terrible Covenant.
We haven't done Covenant.
I can't, I wiped it from my brain.
Well, a little bit of news there from Alex.
Yeah. I thought I might as well share.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a wasteland, isn't it? I mean, even Furiosa, the trailer for Furiosa, I'm not really sure about. It looks really, I don't know. I mean, it's not practical anymore, is it? It all looks like it's CG and stuff. A bit worrying, really, but
yeah.
I'm still going to see it. Have you seen Monkey Man?
No, is that good?
No, but apparently it's really good. I want to see that. Anyway, we're doing Mad Max 2. Mad Max 2, also known as The Road Warrior.
Isn't that because in America, Mad Max wasn't that popular, so they thought if they called it 2, that'd be confusing?
Yeah, and also I would say that I think this is Mad Max 1. I think The Road Warrior is a better name for it, because you remember we watched Mad Max... A long time ago. Do you remember that? Long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And we all kind of weren't that impressed because it started quite well and then it's really, really boring, that film is. Mm. Not a lot happens. But I think, because the start of this film, they like set up the world and they show clips from Mad Max 1.
Yes, I like the beginning of this.
Yeah, I think that's the best use of it. Like that's doing a good thing with some bad footage. So anyway, that's Mad Max 1. So we watched that then. When's the last time you saw Road Warrior, if at all, Alex?
I don't think I've seen this.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think I've seen 3 either.
Or Tina Turner?
No, I don't think I've seen that either.
Chris, have you seen this before?
No.
So I watched this about a year before we watched Mad Max on the podcast. I watched all of them at the same time. And I don't think I'd seen this one before then. But I'd definitely seen Beyond Thunderdome before. All the kids at the end. You sure you haven't seen that? It's on all the time.
I don't remember it. I just have the song playing in my head right now. That's all I've got.
Yeah. It's referenced so much on like Rick and Morty and stuff, but I've not seen it.
Okay, well, spoilers for Beyond Thunderdome. It ain't very good, very good. But what about this film? Let's find out. So as we just said, it is a direct continuation of the first film, but it kind of isn't because...
Yeah.
He's not really the same character, is he?
He was a policeman, wasn't he, in the first one? Yeah. And his family were run over, so he went a bit mental.
But do you remember that in the first one, like, there's a whole, like, court case and stuff because the one guy in the gang is, like, does things to one of the cops. And the guy gets away, and then the bad guy comes and finds Mad Max and kind of makes up with him, whatever. And then there's, like, half the film is, like, Mad Max and his wife going for, like, ice cream, whatever. And they're just being, like, menacingly looked at by bad guys.
Yeah.
And nothing really happens. Yeah. And he only goes mad for about 5 minutes at the end.
Yeah.
Which...
Yeah, and I think what we said was that all the practical, the action and all the practicals are brilliant, but all the other stuff's very boring.
And also, it was...
And it's very low budget, isn't it?
It was extremely low budget and just looked like Australia. Like, it wasn't really a post-apocalypse. So the first thing things got going for it is that he's got money now. That's why I think it's a remake. I think this is the film he wanted the first film to be, you know?
Do you think it's an Evil Dead 2 situation where it's like, it basically is the same film, that's because that's what Sam Raimi did, was it? Yeah, he had more money, so he kind of did it again, but he pretended it was a sequel,
because there's no... Because what is the tie to the first film, other than it's the same character? Mm. No other character's the same. He's not in the same part of the country, it looks like. The apocalypse has advanced an awful lot from where it was in the old film.
Yeah. And also, as we probably said in Fury Road, Mad Max as a character is basically a vacuum. He's not really a character, is he? He's just a guy who's kind of out for revenge, but not even really. I mean, he's not even really that, is he? He's kind of moralistic, but not that moralistic. He's not really got a character, is he?
I think he's got kind of a Man with No Name.
It's like a Western character.
He's got a Man with No Name kind of character, definitely.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, this film is an awful lot like Man with No Name, really. Like the way they've got a town being harassed kind of thing, and he comes in to save the day.
Yeah.
It's immediately you see that the budget's high. The car's the same. I think it's the same car. I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh, yeah, I read about that. I think they'd sold the cars. I think they said get rid of them, and someone was like, well, maybe we should keep one. And then they kept it somewhere, and someone had to go and find it and bring it back because I think it's the right car, but they kind of,
So then you've also, in this starts of the chase, and you've also got these great buggies and things going on.
Yeah, the vehicles are great.
Yeah, so unlike Fury Road, which is years later, I think the action scenes, the dynamism, like the fact that it's always moving is just fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're impressed
by that? And you don't need...
Very good.
Yeah. You don't need... I mean, the story is very basic. You don't really need a story, do you? It's just... You get what's going on. You get the world pretty quickly.
You don't, but like the story that's there, I think, is enough.
Yeah.
I think there is enough one there, but you've also got loads of good crashes. And there's loads of, like... Because it is all practical, everything's got weight to it. Like, when he crashes into cars, they move properly, which I always think's nice to see. It's funny as well how I think watching this film now is better than it would have been, say, 20 years ago, because we are so in a CG world now.
Yeah.
I think always think it's really nice to just see real shit, isn't it?
Definitely.
All TV shows used to have car smash-ups. It was just common. Like, the A-Team every week used to have, like, car smash-ups.
Explosions and stuff.
Yeah. And it was all kind of, like, they could only do it once, so it's all kind of imperfect when you see it, like, rolling over. It doesn't, like, do it perfectly.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
Yeah. Definitely, yes, yeah. It's not choreographed, is it? Like, to go completely at the right angle off frame, whatever.
Well, it's choreographed to a point, but then it just obviously doesn't do exactly what they wanted to do, but they make it work.
So he starts and he's in, Mad Max is in a chase. He's got a dog with him, which is always a plus. Very cute little dog as well.
Yeah.
And, the thing is, they're after, like, gasoline, or guzzoline, as they call
juice.
It.
It's kind of the juice.
Yeah, there's a big commodity, as it would be, I suppose, if they're into cars.
Yeah.
I love how
in this apocalypse, everyone is so committed to their vehicles, which I guess kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Like, you want to get around, but...
It really struck me watching this, and it is relevant because of Fallout and stuff like that. Did he invent, like, that look, that aesthetic, the kind of S&M, kind of punk S&M, run down, you know, and cars as well, and kind of barbed wire, and kind of violence, and weird sexuality. Did he invent all this? Because it is so prevalent in everything now. TV, computer games, films. This version of an apocalypse future is basically just what we think of.
Yeah.
But did he... Because I couldn't think of anything else.
Well, as far as I can tell, yes. Like, this seems to be the first example. And there are people who cite it as the birth of it. And I can't... Like you, I can't think of... Like, Death Race 2000, anything I could think of that had got a little bit of it.
But it's only a bit of it. It's not got all of it. And also, Death Race has elements of it, but it has elements of other things as well. So this commits to one look, as it were.
Yeah. No, I think this is definitely like...
Because, I mean, that's huge. I mean, the fact that... I mean, because it is kind of in the first Mad Max, but not as much as this, is it?
It's not really, though. Like, there's a biker gang, isn't there? And that's about it. There's not... Because the first Mad Max, he's living in a lovely like house by a beach and things like that. Like, it's all...
Yeah. No, it's not as trash.
It's sparse because they filmed it in the outback, but it's not like... It's not crafted like this is, you know.
No.
There's not like oil towns and you know, everything's so wrecked, but like...
Mm. And everything's so pieced together. Like, the goodies have got like cricket gear on and like...
Yeah.
It's very like... all everyone's... You can kind of... It's literally like Fallout or like one of those games where you're literally picking bits up and then making your outfit out of what you've picked up. It's a great aesthetic.
And so clever as well.
Yeah.
When you're trying to make a film, like in terms of prop making, it's just so good.
Yeah. No, it looks great. And like you say, the vehicles all look brilliant. They're all different as well, which is a lot of... Like a lot of... like I watched the trailer for Cyborg 3, The Recycler. And there's a gang in that that's obviously like this, but they've all got the same bike. And you're just like, but like, that's just rubbish, because they wouldn't all have the same bike. Because where did they get 30 bikes from in the post-apocalyptic cyborg future? It's just not, that's not practical. It's not real.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this, it looks amazing.
As well as the cars, they've got the little gyrocopter thing, which I love as well. He meets the gyrocopter. Is it just called the gyrocopter thing? Is it the gyrocopter?
Yeah.
Bruce Spence, he's got an amazing face, isn't he? Like, they've cast so well, haven't they, this apocalypse?
Yes.
They all look so, like, odd, don't they? Like, just a bit...
I recognised him from Star Wars.
Oh.
He's in episode 2.
Oh.
What is he?
He's like that alien where when Obi-Wan Kenobi goes to that Genosis planet. No. It's another planet.
The clone place?
No. The other one. It's where... I can't remember why. It's where like they're all hiding out. The separatists are hiding out.
Oh,
and there are those big holes in the planet.
Yeah.
Do you know why they put? Why he says George Miller says he put the gyro captain in. He wanted the studio to pay for a helicopter to do aerial shots. So he wrote this character in so they could kind of like justify having it in it was.
Yeah. He's a great character. I love, they set up so fast as well, like the world, because it is a different world to the first one, and like the fact that it's dog eat dog, everyone's after oil, like gasoline.
Yeah.
And this kind of, it's a trope of these things, isn't it? To have these kind of weird characters that are like, I don't know how you describe them really, like, they're like islands of people, aren't they, like, where like this guy isn't a bad guy, but he's weird because he's like self-sustained, like Max's kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, I wrote that the bit when he goes and there's a gyrocopter and then it's like the snake and then he pops up because Max gets the snake, so he pops up with a crossbow instead.
Yeah.
And I just wrote down, surely 80% of your life in this world is just dealing with this every day, like different, walking to something, seeing something, deciding whether you should go and pick it up or not. If you pick it up, someone ambushes you, kill that person. Like, that's just most of your life, isn't it? In the like apocalypse. That, like, yeah.
I love when he kidnaps him and he's got him in the car and he's got the shotgun trained on his head and the dog's there.
Yeah, with the bone in it, with the trigger in its mouth. Yeah, that's great. That's
very good.
That is great.
So, the whole the setup basically is that they're going towards they find an oil tanker, like, oh shit, yeah, this is pretty cool, and they find a gang and they find this like oil town place.
Yeah,
and really it's Mad Max is cool. I think Fury Road's cool for the same reason of where like you're getting a kind of a very condensed view of the apocalypse, aren't you? Like, yeah, a lot of things go very wide and stuff like this.
Or try and solve it or stop it or...
Totally, yeah, like, everyone's, yeah, going to get the cure or, yeah, like, or, you know, it's the last frontier of man. Whereas, like, yeah, Mad Max, Fury Road and this, and Thunderdome, like, it is... Here is one little story being told, yeah, within this wasteland. Yeah. And I think it's such a great way, yeah, of telling it because then it doesn't... You don't need to, like, go into, like, massive lore dumps. Other than the bit that, no, starts telling you that everyone blew up.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about, like, you know, like in Waterworld, you have to get into, like, all about, like,
yeah,
where the people have gone on the island and things like that. You don't need to worry about anything like that. It's just like, no, no, this is a Western in the future, you know, and that's...
Yeah. No, no, it works much better.
It's brilliant. Yeah. And it looks great. And, like, Oil Town is, like, a practical town, isn't it? They've built, mm-hmm, Oil Town. You know, when they first go there, and there are all those cars coming across the desert, like, and it's like a night shot.
Yeah.
And all the dust being kicked up. It just looks...
No, there's some really good. There's some really good long shots in this. There's some really good. You know when he's like spying, when he's watching the facility,
yeah,
and it's night and you can just hear Humongous like doing orders, but you can't really tell what he's saying.
Yeah.
And he's eating dog food, that bit. Yes. Allegedly, IMDb says, it says line spoken off screen, scarcely audible, but coming up in subtitles. Humongous is saying, Smegma crazies to the left, oh, the, yeah, gate. Gay boy berserkers, gay boys, to the, yeah, gate.
Like, I've just put a shot in the chat. Just look at that shot. Like, it just, yeah, doesn't happen anymore. Like, there must be 20, 30 different vehicles. There's, yeah, like fires going off like way, way in the background.
Yeah.
There's a lit town in the middle.
It's a scale of it.
Totally.
But it's not all shot in that scale. It's also, you know, he doesn't just keep it all way out like that, does he?
Oh, yeah,
he just goes to it every so often.
Isn't it mad, right, how this is, when are we with this, right? 1981, this is. Mm. And really, Fury Road is the same film. Like, he'd done it all in a lot of ways. What he's doing, he did then. And
yeah.
Mm.
It must have been amazing to watch it in 81. Like, because it just...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's so... It is the practical thing, without a doubt. Like, I know, like, that isn't that impressive, really. Like, it's not that many people. But you don't see well-made films, yeah, like this. It's set in the post-apocalypse. I don't think there's that many. Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
But also, like, as you say, as we move... It's like why vinyls come back, isn't it? As we, yeah, move towards everything kind of being fake, everything being CG, nothing being practical, it all just being done, or you could do it on your phone.
Yeah.
This kind of thing then does become... an oddity or like a rarity to go, oh wow, like that's why, I mean, that's why all the Christopher Nolan stuff, like, because he's really doing these things, but yeah, you can really do them, but don't have to be so bloated. You can just really do them and look cool.
Yeah,
yeah, because you could do that. It's hard to organize, and it does cost money, but it's not that much.
Well, no, he, you know, I mean, he did it in Fury Road, didn't he? That was, yeah, recently. He did it again then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love how it looks. I adore it. When he gets, like, when he goes to the town, and like you say, they've got, like, cricket bat stuff.
Yeah.
They've got, like, there's that woman there who's extremely attractive. You know, the main...
Oh, does she like the one that says...
I don't know if she's got a name.
She doesn't... See, again, it's a bit like Cyborg. I just wrote down loads of things. They've all got names, but
I don't think she has got a name.
Okay, she's called... Oh, she's just called Warrior Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't trust him, but, like... They're all characters, aren't they? Like,
yeah, she's they've like all got
that.
Little,
there's that old dude who's like a bit crazy. Yeah. There's the main guy with his like fluffy hair who's like meant to be like a military guy, I think. And
I like the weird the mechanic who's in the kind he's in the swing thing.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, he's fun.
I love that guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that bit. You know, towards the end when like you know after the guy gets shot. And they're trying to repair the thing, and he's going, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And the other guy's going, he's got to fix the carburetor.
Yeah, and then
he goes, the shouts back, yeah. goes, how long's it going to take? And the guy goes, I'm going to take about 24 hours. 24 hours! It's a really good conversation. It's really...
He goes, 12 hours. He goes, that's fine.
That's fine. Stuff like that, where it's like proper like character and things. It's really...
Yeah. No. They don't have to do much with it, do they? It's...
No, it's also refreshing. Like, did you think, you know, it starts, did you expect him to go into like such civilization? Like, I know it's not big, but like, I think my memory of it is that he's a lot more wandering around, and I kind of liked that he was in someone else's story. Faster.
Yeah, it works better. Yeah, it works better.
A lot of films would linger for half an hour on him walking slowly through a desert, wouldn't they? And you'd get lots of nice long shots, and nothing would really go on. Whereas this is like, no, we're going to tell a story. It is the Man with No Name, really, to be honest, in structure and but stuff. But
you're, like you say, it's almost like you're in on the second act. It's not. It's almost like it's missing a first act, that kind of a slower build up. It just kind of throws you in quite quickly.
Yeah,
in a good way. It doesn't. You don't feel like you're missing anything, really. It just gets going.
Yeah.
Because it's entertaining and exciting. You just kind of go.
Yeah, because he's only there about 5 minutes, isn't he? And Humongous comes back, like the army all comes back over the ridge, which is a great scene, which is a quote at the start, where like, again, looks impressive. There's so many of them, and the way that when they're like, so the bad guy Humongous is there with like a guy like sort of emceeing for him. And all the while they're talking, there's like two of the good guys just strapped to the front of a wagon, just screaming, going, "Don't trust him!"
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. And then you get the weird little mullet.
That little kid, feral
a kid. Yeah, feral who kid. Doesn't say a word, which is exactly what you want from a child actor, isn't it?
Is he your favourite kid?
The growling was quite annoying, though.
The growl is a bit annoying, there is too much of him, but like,
it's quite good with the boomerang.
Yeah, he's very good with the boomerang.
I love that shot when the guy's going, I got it, and he's going back, and he's chopped all his fingers off. And then everyone just starts laughing at it, a whole lot of them start laughing at it. They want the oil, but the people aren't giving it up. But the people want to leave because they want to go to like, the one guy's got like this big brochure full of postcards to the beach.
Yeah, like they're going to a beach, which, I don't know, it does make sense more to be by the water if you're in Australia and it's the apocalypse, doesn't it?
I suppose, yeah.
Well, you'd want, not the sea.
Well, but you could fish.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They want to get out, they can't get out, but Max, they need some fuel, so Max goes to get the fuel for them.
They've got the fuel.
Oh,
they
sorry,
need to move the fuel, so he goes back to get the tanker.
Yes, to get the tanker, sorry.
That he saw originally, yeah.
Yeah, to help them out. And he's very, like, non-committal. And like you say, he is kind of...
Yeah, he says at first he'll just do it to get his car filled up and some weapons and
as
stuff,
much gasoline
he?
As he can take, doesn't he?
Yeah, but then he changes his mind, doesn't he? So,
well, no, he doesn't change his mind, does he? Because he leaves, doesn't he? He does the deal.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He just gets the shit kicked out of him, yeah.
That's the... You know what, actually, before that, he only comes back in the van. I liked how... The bad guys were literally just camped over the ridge. They were like, they were so close together, aren't they?
Yeah.
Bit strange.
Yeah.
But I suppose that they have got that cool flamethrower, haven't they, on the front of the oil tower.
Yeah.
The cars could just like set them on fire with the flame thing.
One thing I didn't like is any time anyone fired an arrow, it had a really weird like sci-fi noise for arrows. Yeah. It had like a bzing, like it didn't make any sense why that was the noise for arrows. Because they are obviously, it's quite like handmade tool, like handmade weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
But it had this odd sound effect. I don't know if
they're like arrows from like a sports shop, though, aren't they? They're like.
Yeah, it just had a really weird noise on it. I don't know why they. Yeah, I don't know why they.
Do you think some of that is. Go on, sorry.
Go on. There was this sound effect all the way through, which appeared whenever they referenced the oil or the refinery, and it's that. It's that sample of like a, it's like a pipe being hit in like reverb, and it's used a lot in GoldenEye.
Right.
It's like, donk. You'd know it as soon as you hear it. And it's literally all the way through this film.
That's weird.
It's quite
to signify
annoying.
The oil, is it?
It's like a pipe being hit sample. Right. In reverb, and it's all the way through. Like literally, it's in the back, just going, dong, dong. But it's in GoldenEye.
Yeah,
really.
It's in the theme tune of GoldenEye and in the film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Popular. I have to find that afterwards. Yeah.
Popular pipe.
You know, I've just another thing I missed. Don't you think he is a bit like Quint in Jaws as well, Mad Max?
Yeah,
you know that bit when they're all like, can't decide what to do, and he's like, "I'll get you the stuff." He's like hanging back at the back, like,
"Yeah."
That's like that. I'll find him.
Yeah,
I'll find him and kill him for 10. You know, that's like that scene in the chalkboard.
Yeah.
That might be because I've got Jaws in the mind all the time. That might be why I'm thinking about that. But what was I going to say before that? No, I've forgotten.
You said you were going to say something about the sound or...
The music's interesting. It's got like nice bits of music that kind of fade in and out.
The music is good. What I was going to say was, do you think... I thought there's a lot of comic book influence on this because there's a lot of shots when... It zooms in and shakes around a bit. There's a really funny one that when the guy's in the helicopter crashing and he keeps going to him, he's going like, whoa, like this. And is that kind of like, there's a really good shot when I can't believe someone's putting something down and, oh, is it someone throws something? And the camera's next to someone's foot and something slams down next to it. And it reminded me a lot of like a comic book, how a comic book would have to show, it shows the motion. Yeah. It shows the impact, you know, rather than the action kind of thing. I don't know.
There was a good one when he goes, when he first saves the, I think it's when he first saves the bloke that he takes to the town.
Mm.
The bloke's on the floor and Mad Max is over him. And it's shot from the guy looking up at standing over him.
Yeah.
So you see the sky above him. It's well shot. He has an amazing eye for.
Definitely, yeah.
It's not boring. It's not. He doesn't sit back on the art, even though it is an action film. He's not sitting back on the beauty of it. You know, he's not just like, oh, we'll just bang through this to get to a fight scene.
There's lots of nice wide vistas, and also like they really take advantage of the fact that Australia is full of long, straight roads, don't they?
Yeah.
Because all the action stuff, again, like Fury Road, I suppose, like they're not on roads in Fury Road, whereas this, they're actually on roads, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm. And because they're long and straight, they can shoot it for absolutely ages and edit it all together and it looks fine.
Yeah.
Which I think is also really cool because you don't often see such high-octane stuff with the camera moving around so much and so much going on a track kind of thing. I don't know, it just looks... Mm. I think it looked really fresh and like invented, despite the fact it's like 45 years old. You know, it's So things are escalating. Max does leave because he's not impressed. But then this is the bit I don't like. This bit, they've got this like nitrous oxide, the bad guys, so they can like the NOS like in Fast and Furious, so they can like do a boost and go really fast.
Yeah. It never looks any good because
they also ramp the camera though, don't they?
It looks like fine. It looks fine when it's a thing, a machine. Yeah. But as soon as you see a person and they're like that, it looks so stupid. If they could just do it with just the vehicles, it'd be fine. But as soon as you see a person, it spoils the effect. It's kind of
a hallmark of him of these films now, though, isn't it? Because they do it in Fury Road as well.
Yeah, he definitely.
Like, when they're all like amped up.
Yeah.
Is that thing in Fury Road? Is like misframed or something? It's like a weird kind of like.
Mm.
It's fast, but it's kind of like that. It's hard to describe, isn't it? It's like the motion's kind of gone weird, hasn't it? Like it's not
it's
just
like rolling shutter or something.
Hmm.
It's like the shutter on the camera.
It's the only bit that doesn't work, I think, of the practical stuff.
Yeah, definitely, and also just the fact that like Max is on a straight road, nothing around him, and doesn't notice this convoy behind him come up and just knocking off the road. It seems a bit silly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you've got to do it. And it is like, it is a comic book. It's.
It's kind of ridiculous.
They kill the dog then, though, which I wasn't very happy about.
Yeah, but off screen. You don't get to see
it. It's off screen. And they've kind of got to do it, haven't they? You've got to have the reason to come back. I do like how much they fuck Mad Max up. Like,
he's awful.
A mess, isn't he?
Yeah. No, he's very. Yeah. And then they keep it up, don't they? Because then he kind of comes out and he's like, oh, I'll drive the tanker. And they're like, no, you won't. What's wrong with you? Like, you can't drive a tanker. Like, it is, again, not realistic, but at least they keep him being. Because then he's just driving. He's not like. He's got not to have a big fight or anything afterwards.
Also, I like how scarce ammo is. And the whole like, running gag with his gun out, it's not loaded at all. And then it is. And he goes to shoot it and it just fizzes out straight away because there's no actual ammo. Which is a nice, realistic sort of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think of the guy who's the leader of... What's his name?
The red mullet guy.
Yeah, Papagallo.
Him. Oh, no. Yeah, I thought you meant the baddie. He's all right. He's the weakest character.
A bit like in a different film, I think.
It's a bit weird, that scene when he talks to Max, because it starts off one way. So he starts off and he's all like, oh, you know, I can give you a future, I can give you hope. And then normally there'd be a back and forth of like, he would try to reason with him and then he would say something else and he would say something else and it would go on for like maybe like 10 minutes. In that, His speech is literally like, oh, I could give you some hope. Oh, you know, I could give you a future. Actually, you're just a waste of space. You're a piece of shit. No, you should fuck off because I don't, you know, you're a bastard. Like, and he like really starts slagging him off really quickly within one speech. Yeah. It's kind of like he doesn't, I don't know. It's like he, it's a bit weird, that bit. It doesn't work.
His whole character just feels out of step with the rest of what's going on, I think. Mm. Like a bit sort of, I don't know. I guess you've got to have a leader, haven't you?
Yeah. So is one of these the same guy as in Fury Road?
No.
No.
You know the bad guy in the first film? That's the same actor as Immortal Joe out of Fury Road, but it's a different character.
Right. I think originally Humongous was supposed to be Jim Goose or whatever. Maybe.
Who's Jim Goose?
He was in the first one. Isn't he the bad the guy?
Oh, he was the bad guy in the first one, right? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
And that he was supposed to maybe be, but he's got that weird accent. It's not the same voice, is it?
So apparently, in the novelization, they explained that he is an ex-military general who's in the same unit as the good guy Papa Gallo. They were like both in the army together, something like that. And he's like really badly burnt under there, which is why you don't see.
Because he has a kind of weird Nazi gun, doesn't he?
I love that gun. I love that bit when he gets the gun out of that case. Yeah. And the little, like, it's got a little black and white photo, hasn't it, of whoever it belongs to, or whatever. It's very, so much character in it. I wish there was more of him, really, Humongous, because like the way he talks and stuff, he's quite.
Yeah, because he's not that. He does say, there's people, too many people have died. If you just all leave, I won't kill you.
Yeah, but it's not true, is it?
Well, I don't know, because he doesn't like the Waz or Wes or whatever he's called, the red mohawk guy. He does tell him off quite a lot. And in fact, doesn't he choker hold him when he gets too excited? And he stops him attacking someone. He actually slipper holds him.
The first thing you see him, they're like raping and killing people in the desert.
I feel like Humongous is a bit more reasonable.
All right, okay. Humongous Defence Force. I don't believe it myself.
I think they should have given Humongous a chance.
Okay.
I mean, they would have had zero future if they'd just given up all the oil to them. But yeah, I don't know. I feel it's more like the red mohawk guy is more evil than the Humongous is.
Yeah, what's his name? Is it Jez?
Wes,
that's it.
Wes. Yeah. But he's just angry because his friend got killed on the bike.
His boyfriend died, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's brutal, that. You know, when they...
Oh, yeah.
The boomerang gets in his head. Apparently that's cut as well. You know, it was a lot more violent and was cut to make...
It seemed like he was about to lift up and he was going to show like the brain.
Yeah, that's. I think that did happen. They cut it to make a 15 rating. Basically, there's like lots of violence taken out of it. And that version exists apparently, but has never been seen. That's annoying. More violent cut. Which is rare, isn't it? You'd have thought they'd have sold that by now.
the guy that played Wes, Vernon Wells, Mel Gibson called him Barometer Bum on the set because when his butt cheeks went purple, they knew it was time for everyone to go on the bus and warm up.
Nice.
Because obviously the desert gets very cold at night, so all those people in like fetish wear with their bum cheeks hanging out.
Where's his arse hanging out? Yeah. What do you think of Mel Gibson in this?
He's all right.
You don't really get much of a sense of whether he can act or
No, he's not.
He's okay. He's capable.
He broods well, doesn't he? I guess he's capable.
I don't know if it needed to be him in this.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been worse with someone else.
No. He looks cool at this point, doesn't he? His life, this sort of look.
Yeah. Is he okay again now? What's the consensus on Mel Gibson now?
I mean,
I've not heard from him for a while.
He was in that Continental, the TV show.
Yeah,
he's John Wick.
He's doing things again, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess he's served his time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Made not up for with us the Jews. To say.
No, yeah, not for us to say. Some pretty brutal stuff he said on that phone call back in the day.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Have you not? I'm not going to repeat it here, but it's amazing.
Well, isn't he call the, was it the female policeman, he called her sugar tits or something?
Yeah, that's the one.
But there's a great like rant about the Jews and stuff. It's put it on YouTube. It's worth a listen. He seems very unhinged, very angry and very unhinged.
He's a good director.
Yeah. Apocalypto.
Apocalypto is amazing.
Yeah, Apocalypto is good.
I've seen Braveheart and that's terrible.
Have you seen Jesus, the Jesus one?
No, I haven't. No. The finale of this film is that they're going to leave.
Yeah.
I forgot the twist in this, and I was so happy I'd forgotten it, because it's such a clever thing. Again, like Fury Road.
Yeah.
A lot of similarities to Fury Road. what I said, but like kind of the same film.
It's like he's remade.
Yeah.
So if this is a remake of Mad Max, then that's a remake of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks great. So they've got the tanker. They're going to head out. I love the bit when it just blasts out. And again, the kinetic energy of it. It's so like it just moves and rolls and rolls. It doesn't stop. And the music fits really well. It just sort of like this last fight goes on for about like 20 minutes, isn't it? This last sort of like, so you've got the leader's gone out, the hot girl's gone out, the guy in the gyrocopter's gone out, and Max has gone out.
They're on the roof. The woman and the other guy are on the top of the tanker with their crossbow. And then everyone else is in the bus going off the other way.
Yeah, and they've gone off separately. And there's that cool shot when the raiders go into the base and just blow the whole base up, which looks really good, isn't it? It looks fantastic.
But they
kind of leave the rest of people away for ages. And
you've got this
huge set piece of people coming and going up close to the tanker and jumping on, jumping off. That cool bit when he gets the harpoon thing and takes the door off of Max's thing.
Yeah.
The
cartwheel, you know, the guy cartwheeling.
Oh, yeah, over there.
Yeah, that was a genuine and near-fatal accident. The stuntman was supposed to just fly over the car without hitting it. He survived, but his leg was broken badly. And they looked so good, they just kept it, so... There you go.
I mean,
it does look really good.
The warrior woman gets killed, which is sad. I mean, everyone dies, doesn't they? Really, I think everyone dies, other than the little boy doesn't die, and the gyro captain. That's it, really, isn't it? I think.
It looks like because he gets shot at, doesn't he?
There's a bit where it looks like he was.
Yeah, I thought that was shot. Odd. That bit. He looks like he's being.
There's some continuity with the gyro, isn't there? Because one minute it's got one seat, one minute it's got two seats.
Yeah. When it crashes, it looks like you're not coming back from that crash, doesn't it? No. And then it just rolls back into view at the end of the film.
Yeah. So how did he get away at the end to back to the group without getting caught by the bad gang?
They're all dead. They go off.
The few that are left, once the leaders die, the few that are left ride off, don't they? Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I love all these shots, but that final shot when the kid's trying to reach the shotgun off the front of the thing.
Yeah.
And you see Humongous fire his nitrous.
Yeah.
And he's in some sort of like bloodlust rage, I guess, isn't he? He's gone mad. But it's the way they've shot it on a bit of road that curves down, haven't they? And you see the thing appear above the back of the top of the thing. It looks so good.
That's that ramped thing again, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Speed ramp.
What do you mean?
It's like that sort of unnatural.
But it looks good in that.
But other than that, it looks.
Yeah.
And then the smash of. It's kind of weird in a way that, like, Max does nothing, that just the bad guy drives into the other bad guy at high speed.
Yeah.
that's how he wins.
It's kind of luck, isn't it? Yeah.
I guess he has turned the tank around, hasn't he, though? He's turned back.
Yeah.
The bit where the two were strapped to the front of the thing smash into the back of the tamper.
That's kind of, because that's like, it's just an afterthought, isn't it, as well? Because they do see us at the front, they cut to it, they're like,
touches the brakes. Quite grim, actually.
The tanker roll stunt was deemed so dangerous, the stunt driver was not allowed to eat any food for 12 hours before the shot in the likely event he could be rushed into surgery. Wow. Imagine being told that. But you know that stunt you're doing.
Tomorrow, don't eat.
What? No lunch for you.
Just in case.
What's your blood type?
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
And the great reveal at the end is that tanker goes over and Max walks up to it and it's full of sand.
Yeah.
And they've snuck all the oil out inside all of the vehicles, which
great.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a neat little ending,
isn't it?
Yeah, and not over the top, not overly complicated. It's not, not too convoluted.
Yeah.
It's a simple film.
It is. There's a lovely sunset shot of them all riding across the desert, and then the voiceover comes over, and it's the kid who's narrating it, isn't it? That's the idea. And he's like, and we went to our paradise.
Yeah. And the gyro captain was made the leader.
He's the leader, yes.
But then he was subsequently made the leader as well.
Yeah. And Max, we don't know.
Who knows with Max? He went off somewhere else, did something else. Again, which is good. You don't want him to...
He went beyond the Thunderdome, that's where he went.
He did. Because they don't need another leader.
Hero.
Hero, sorry.
Yeah. We should watch it, though.
Yeah, we should watch it.
Mad Max, then. What do we all think? Chris?
Good. Yeah, I had fun. Yeah, it is a lot like Fury Road, isn't it? I was watching it going, yeah, this is good. But I hadn't seen it before, so it was...
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. I like the character development of the gyrocopter guy was quite good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Kind of the lead, really, isn't he, really? Think about
it. Yeah, yes. Kind of.
Yeah. Like the way that Furiosa is in Fury Road, like he's the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do like a very basic Western conceit.
Me too. Without a doubt. Yeah. Alex?
No, it all really worked really well. Yeah, I think it is just... I think it's one of those things where it's so... I hadn't seen it, but it's so... You're so aware of it that you feel like you've seen it. And I just think it worked really well. It was entertaining. I mean, you know, especially when you can compare it directly to Cyborg from last week, which was just a mess and didn't look very good and wasn't exciting or entertaining and didn't have a very good story. This is still very stripped down, but just it does everything Cyborg did wrong. This does right. Yeah. And like I say, I think it's a really good point to say, to see something so practical that is real, like in a weird way, is a very real film, it is actually really, it's quite refreshing and it does make it more interesting in a way.
Yeah.
And it's more of an achievement as well.
Yes, I agree. I love it. I think it's a brilliant film. I think it's so much better than the first one. Yeah. Not quite as good as Fury Road, but I do think it's a really, really, really strong film for all the reasons we've said. Yeah. And like, it is like of a like the time it's made is important because it is. We define the genre as we said, and it is practical, and it is just, it's just so complete, and it feels just so right to be made like this in a way. Like it's a really good film, really good film.
Yeah, really and good. Also it's a really good sequel because, as you say, it didn't need the first one. They use the first one to make the second, but you don't need to have seen the first one at all.
I just think that's so. Chris has put the sample in the chat. Of that sound that you mentioned, you know, the oil sample. I've just heard it. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it is in this film a lot. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
All the way through.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it now.
Yeah, it is in Golden Island, isn't it? yeah. I hope I forget that next time I watch this, though, because I don't want to have this ruined by that bloody sound all the way through.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, let's rate it. Science.
Cool.
I think science has got a fairly reasonable show. I think it would be...
Yeah, it's fine. Nothing, they don't break the laws of physics. It's all pretty good.
It makes sense that you'd be into oil, doesn't it?
Yep.
Lots of practical stuff. That boomerang's a bit far-fetched, but other than that, I think...
I don't know how those pumps work. You know, those nodding donkeys?
Hmm.
Do they need electricity to work? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway...
We'll say 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a 7 to me.
Yeah.
Craft, I think this has got to be a high because...
Oh, yeah, high on the craft.
It's an 8? Very... Yeah, it's... Or a 9, maybe. It's so... Don't you think it's so complete?
Yeah, there's nothing... Yeah, apart from that weird, janky sped-up bit and...
Would that be Craft? I'd say that... Oh, that's special effects, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah, okay, maybe an 8.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. But in terms of like the build of things and the costumes and the
makeup and
the vehicles.
Yeah, definitely.
It's all great, yeah. There's nothing like, they don't put a step wrong in terms of like how it's made.
No. You never take it out of it. I think it's a 9.
Okay. Yeah. And good on the art as well. Really.
It is.
Yeah, really.
Great music.
Yeah, music's good. It all fits really well.
They're not too annoying with that sort of post-apocalyptic like patter.
Jargon.
Like in some of these films, the actual the lingo is so annoying.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going about eating people or like
at the start when he calls gasoline guzzoline, and I thought it's gonna have all this shit. It's funny you said that, Chris, and it didn't have all that shit.
Yeah.
And it was really refreshing. It was the odd word every now and again. Yeah.
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 8.
Yeah.
I think it's gotta be high. Significance, pretty significant because...
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're really saying...
It invented
but they're all significant for the next one, aren't they? Like, this one was a remake of the last one, and then Fury, you know what I mean?
No, but this aesthetic of post-apocalypse... Yeah,
if this really did codify...
It invented this, didn't it?
Yeah, if it did, then that... I mean, and ultimately, even if you say, oh, well, it was in one, but it's still him, And he yeah. did, he refined.
It's not in one, though. It's not in one, though, is it? That's what I'm saying. I don't think one's got it.
The baddies don't look like the baddies in this, in one.
They've got, like, a bit of leather on, but it's not, like, all this, like, bondage stuff. No. There's a bit of this yeah. kind of sort of borrowed clothing. Like, I remember, do you remember the police chief, like, dresses like Big Alls yeah. a bit? He's a bit sort of over the top. Yeah, yeah. But it's nowhere near as, like, as extreme as this.
Yeah. No.
This is the first, like, it's got to be.
I think it is.
An eight, I think.
It's an eight. Yeah. Right.
Waterworld
not
owes a lot to this.
What does?
Waterworld.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. yeah. And The Postman.
Yeah.
Which we haven't watched. Watched that, that
Yeah, no, we haven't watched that. Is it bad?
It's long. It's a long, long film. I can't remember it, other than it's like just, I mean, not much happening.
Mm.
right, anyway, let's tilt this. 3, 2, 1, tilt. It's got a 9 from me, an 8 from Alex, and a 7 from Chris.
A lovely score.
A 0.8.
I mean, I did 7 to curb Sam's enthusiasm a little bit.
Yeah, you did. Oh,
seems
I think it's
seems got necessary.
Have we got a tie? I think we might have a tie.
It's bang on at 0.8, which is a satisfying
thing
to look
at. Which is also the same as
wow.
Back to the Future is bang on 0.8.
The Future 2.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just we have to choose a favourite each, don't we? And
I mean,
majority wins.
I'd say Mad Max is better than Back to the Future 2. Both sequels.
I think Back to the Future 2 is better than Mad Max. So it's down to you, Chris.
Back to the Future 2. That was the one where...
But it is really good, though.
He goes to the future as well as the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard. Oh, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Back to the Future 2
yeah,
is
Yeah, no,
is better.
I'm not
it's
mad
got more
at that.
Stuff. It's just got more stuff.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
I mean, it's Back to the Future, isn't it? So,
yeah. I'm not mad at that. That's
no,
good.
So it's number 5, Mad Max the Road Warrior, which I'm happy with that as well. Above The Truman Show and below Back to the Future Part 2.
So what
discussed.
Are you
going
to do? Give Back to the Future 2 like
an I'll give it a
digit or something?
So go a 000, like a fourth digit. There we go. Yeah. So like 0.80001, so then it will never be impacted by a traditional scale thing.
Okay.
Science.
Our own science.
Yeah. Cool, brilliant. Well, that was Mad Max. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Next week...
What is next week?
I don't think what we're doing next week.
No, we don't know what we're doing.
It will be a surprise.
Yeah.
What's coming out? What's coming out? Have either of you seen Civil War yet?
No.
Out,
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
No, not very good.
No.
That's what I've heard.
Really fucking terrible, actually.
Yeah.
Really
That's the kind of review I got. That's what I saw as well.
I was
expecting so much.
When was Annihilation? That's him, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can watch that. That's not very good either, but we can watch that.
Was that
him? Is Ex Machina on this list?
We've done Ex Machina, yeah.
What else did he do? Oh, 28 Days
28 Days Later, The Beach, not a sci-fi.
For some reason, I thought 28 Days Later with Danny Boyle.
Yeah, but Alex Garland wrote it.
Right, okay.
Let's do Annihilation.
But is that enough time?
Yeah, it's ages ago, isn't it, Annihilation?
I'm going to find it.
It's pre-COVID, so it must be
2019.
2018, yeah.
2018, yeah. Okay,
it's fair game.
So Annihilation... Should we do Mad Max 3 as we're in the Mad Max?
No, let's wait a bit for that.
Let's get away from post-apocalyptic for a while.
Well, Annihilation... No, it's not post-apocalyptic. It's like a zone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, we should do Stalker. We should do Stalker.
Oh. That's a bit post-apocalyptic, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like a zone, like... We do Zone Season.
Yeah.
Stalker's a brilliant film. I don't know how... Have you seen Stalker?
I think I have, and I can't remember it.
I mean, that... How long is Stalker? I think that's quite a... Hard to Google Stalker. I'll look at it offline. It's about 3 hours. Maybe not. We'll discuss it offline. Well, we're going to do Annihilation next week anyway, so tune in for Annihilation, guys and gals. sciencefictionratesystem@gmail.com if you'd like to speak to us. We had an email. We'll do it next time.
Oh, we had an email.
We'll do it next time. I haven't got them on here, so I'll do it next time.
Well, we have hundreds of emails every episode.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one worth reading out. Yeah. we had a follow-up from that guy that Chris called out as well.
Oh, actually, really?
Have I got that?
How did I call him?
You said, like, what kind of fucking weirdo would be? I'd listen to the podcast for a matter of time.
Oh, God.
I can't believe it. I haven't got it here. But anyway, he took it in good spirits, which was good. So.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks for bearing with us.
Read that out next time.
Yeah, I'll find it next time. Right, fantastic. We'll see you next week for Annihilation. Cheerio.